Hello everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Gaming in the Wild, a video games podcast about games from the artistic, creative side of the tracks, from indie to AAA. My name's John, I'm your host. I'm recording on a beautiful, sunny Saturday afternoon out in Reykjavik, Iceland, as always. And I think I have a fun show for you today. It's a bit of a grab bag episode. As far as what I've been playing, I've been skipping around a lot between various things, including a lot of new demos, including some bits and bobs. So it's a grab bag episode in which I will talk about a cyberpunk city builder called Dystopica, a very weird third-person adventure called Indica, a cute climbing game called Valley Peaks, a twin-stick Metroidvania called Mini Shoot Adventure, and a PS5 exclusive you may have heard of called Stellar Blade. All of those games have demos out. Only one of them is released. I think Mini Shoot Adventure is out. But those first four all have demos on Steam that you can play yourself. And the final one, Stellar Blade, has a PS5 demo that is out now as well. But to start off with the news section, I realized that last week I covered all of the games that I think are interesting that are coming out in April. But there's a whole bunch of stuff available on Game Pass, on PS Plus, and free from the Epic Store as well. So I thought we could start off with this little bargain section and look at what's out there. First of all, on Game Pass, a few games have gone live already at the start of the month. Superhot Mind Control Delete is on Game Pass now. I'm guessing that everyone out there knows what Superhot is. It's been around, it's a high-profile game. It's the ingenious movement-based shooter where enemies only move when you do, creating a tense temporal chess game in a John Wick style. It's a fun concept, and now it's on Game Pass. Also out already is LEGO 4K Drive. I haven't played this one myself. I've heard that it is quite fun. It is an open-world driving game licensed off of LEGO, where you can transform into different vehicles as you drive around an open world, presumably doing challenges, doing races, and that kind of thing. People say that it's a very fun game, but I've also heard that it is packed with microtransactions, so depending on your appetite for that, or rather your tolerance of it, mileage may vary, but LEGO 4K Drive is on Game Pass 2, also out now. This is a really good one. This is a little indie gem, Lil Gator game. You may have heard me talk about this one. I did a full review episode on it, and it made the mentions in my Games of the Year episode last year. It's a bright and breezy, short hike-inspired adventure, with little notes of Breath of the Wild and some of the parachuting, the paragliding, and the sliding on shields and that kind of thing. It also has a really nice little story about imagination and play and growing up. So that's a nice little section for Game Pass. So it's three good games that are out already. On the 9th, we're getting Kona. I've seen this one in the store a lot. It's always on sale. It's some kind of Nordic noir-inspired story game, I believe. Also on the 9th, we're getting Botany Manor, which I've talked about a lot on the show. This is the gardening puzzle game where you plant plants to change the worlds and advance through a Victorian manor. On the 11th, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is coming to Game Pass. I played the intro of that one, but none of the modern-day Tomb Raiders have really quite clicked with me. They are very cinematic. They are impressive third-person action adventures in the modern style. And this one does have a fantastic intro. Shadow has a great sequence with Lara caught up in a flood. It's very, very cool. It lost me a little bit after the intro, but it is worth seeing that intro. So if you fancy a little bit of Lara Croft, Shadow of the Tomb Raider is on Game Pass on the 11th. On the 16th, we have Harold Halibut, which I have talked about endlessly, it feels like. It was actually on my most anticipated indies list in January of last year and January of this year, so I'm very excited that that one is finally coming out. It's the claymation adventure game in an underwater space station. That's out on the 16th on Game Pass. Over on PlayStation Plus, there are three games out. The monthly games are out. The first one is Minecraft Legends. It's an action strategy spin-off of the voxel game. It got some nice reviews when it came out. Not exactly my cup of tea, but it did get really nice notices, I think especially for the multiplayer, as I recall. There is also Skull the Hero Slayer, which is a roguelike action platformer. And I think the big ticket item here that I was most excited to see is Immortals of Avium, which is a perfect game for this kind of service because it was a relatively high-profile game that felt a little overpriced. I think it was £70. It was full price when it came out, but it didn't quite seem to carry that AAA sheen that makes you want to pay that kind of money. So I think a lot of people were very curious about this one, but perhaps didn't take the jump to buy it. So it's a first-person magic-oriented FPS. If you've seen the kind of signals, hand signals of something like Ghostwire Tokyo, it's a little bit like that. Or the special magic moves from Skyrim. So FPS gameplay in a fantasy setting, that is Immortals of Avium. I made some space on my hard drive for that one, and I will be taking a look at it for sure. And if you are listening to this podcast in the week when it came out, which is 6th of April 2024, there is some good news for you too, because on Epic Games right now, you can grab the Outer Worlds Spacer's Choice Edition for free. That is the Outer Worlds, the Fallout-style space adventure from Obsidian. I played the opening of this one, and I really enjoyed it, actually, and I've been meaning to go back to it ever since. The Spacer's Choice Edition comes with the DLC, and yeah, it looks very much like a Fallout game. It feels like a Bethesda game, but apparently the twist of this one is that you get to build a space crew, and you get to choose who you want to spend time with, and there is morality and branching paths and an affinity system and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's going to be a perfect ROG ally game for me. I have downloaded that one, and I'm excited to get stuck into it. Epic Games is also offering Thief. This is a game that I have not played, but the trailer looks very nice, actually. It's a first-person stealth and looting game where you are burgling, basically. It looks like it's got some slight Dishonored vibes to it. This particular edition of Thief, I think, is set in Victorian London, or a city that looks a lot like Victorian London. So you can bag the Outer Worlds Spacer's Choice and Thief until the 11th of April, when it will roll over. And the next game that you can get for free will be Ghost Runner. That's the cyberpunk action parkour game, and that will be available from the 11th. So that's our newsy intro. Those are some games that you can grab for free or from your subscription services. But before we get into the demo reviews, a big thank you to the show's latest patrons. We've had an influx lately. So thanks very much to this week's patrons, who are Zibby, Daniel, and Fergus. Thank you very much to all three of those people for signing up for the Patreon. I have sent all three of those new patrons an access code to join the patron-only Discord, where we talk about games all day in tons of channels, with fun games, loads of fun conversations. We have a top fives channel, and we've had themes like what games would smell the best, and what game would you most like to go on holiday in. We have a new round of the bracket challenge, where we pit video game characters against each other until we have a champ. There's a community-led bookend game club. People are just finishing up reading The Invincible and then playing The Invincible. Really interesting conversations in that channel. And we also have dedicated channels for games of the moment, like Dragon's Dogma 2, Final Fantasy Rebirth, and Unicorn Overlord. And those channels change as new games come out and people finish games and move on. So there's always a contemporary debate to be had. If you'd like to come and join us in the Patreon Discord, you can do so from $1 a month at patreon.com/gamingin the wild. There's a whole bunch of other perks. You get 10 bonus podcast episodes, including off-topic stuff like books, music, and travels in Ireland and Japan. So if you would like to support the podcast and join the Patreon Discord and get all of that bonus material, it's patreon.com/gamingin the wild. And thanks very much to all my existing patrons, and thank you to you if that's something you would consider. Now on with the show. So I've had lots of fun in the last week playing demos. If I have not settled on a main game, or if I'm feeling a little restless, I love to flip through some demos, and Steam has so many right now. I think off the back of PAX and GDC and all of the presentations and showcases that are going on, the year is really starting to warm up. So I downloaded about 10 or 15 demos, and these are just the ones that I got to so far. And the first one that I played came as a bit of a surprise, actually. It is called Dystopica, with a K. It is a chill cyberpunk city-building toy, as the developer describes it. The developer is called Voids Within. I think it's a truly indie project, this one. And they also say it has no goals, no management, just build and enjoy the rainy vibes. We're listening to some music from it right now. It's a really, really relaxing time, actually. So this game is a little bit like Townscaper, if you've played that one. That's the one where you start with an empty ocean, and you can pop little houses up out of the ocean. You can build them together, they will glom together and become more complex structures. And it's really just a relaxing toy. There are no aims to it apart from to have a good time. In this one, however, you start with a rainy, foggy, empty plain. In the distance, you can see mountains, there are lightning flashes in the sky, and you start to drop down buildings. They start small, but you can grab the top of them and pull them up, at which point they become glassy, flashing, flickering tower blocks in a cyberpunk city. And as you build them up, A sprinkling of light starts to appear across the ground. The city starts to come to life all by itself. And as you build, procedural neighborhoods will rise up around your towers too. And a lot of it is sleight of hand. I think that my imagination interpreted these little dots of light as houses and freeways and bars and gas stations, like a Blade Runner-y kind of feel. And flying cars do also start to appear. As you build up your city, you'll see these little dots swirling in the air. At first, just a few, but by the end, absolutely loads, filling the air like fireflies. And while all of this is happening, there is lovely ambient electronic music in the background. So it has a lovely nocturnal, enveloping kind of quality to it. I really enjoyed the music. I really enjoyed the lights. And when you are happy with your Cosmopolis, after you've put down a few different types of towers, after you've arranged them how you want, and all of those neighborhoods and flying cars have started to appear, there's a photo mode, which I think is actually essential to this game. I've criticized other games like Townscaper and most lately Summerhouse for not really having a cherry on the cake at the end of your playtime with this video game toy. But the photo mode actually fulfills that here in a really interesting way, actually. It's a really good photo mode. It has fog, bloom on the light. You can change the time of day. You can change the sun color. You can make it rain heavier or lighter. You can raise and lower the level of the fog and the density. So you can make it dim and gray, or you can make it a fiery, smoggy sunset or midnight with blooming, glowing cars and skyscrapers. And I played this game for an entire hour somehow and had a really great time. I built up my Cosmopolis. I played with the photo mode for ages until I got some perfect shots. And I found the whole thing strangely hypnotic and very relaxing. I did feel a sense of wonder. It was like building your own personal version of the Tokyo city skyline. This was a really nice time. It's penciled for a 2024 release. You can check out the demo on Steam now. That is called Dystopica. That's D-Y-S-T-O-P-I-K-A, Dystopica. I'm going to roll with that Dystopica music. It's just really, really nice. But the second game I have for you is something completely different. This one is called Indica, with a K. And this one was a real surprise to me, actually. I did notice that it seemed to pick up some traction in the Steam Next Fest. It was always at the top of the most played. It seemed to be getting a lot of attention. And it has a kind of a grimy, surreal kind of look to it. The poster has a laughing, toothless nun and the face of a young nun called Indica on a bright yellow background. It's very eye-catching. And this demo begins suddenly. I was trying to figure out, actually, if the demo is the start of the game and the game has a cold open, or if we actually start midway through the story, because a lot seemed to have happened. But it was well delivered, and I picked up the pieces quite quickly and felt comfortable in the story right away. We wake up in the snow as Indica, a young nun who has been kidnapped by an escaped prisoner. He has frostbite and has to have his arm amputated. He has this very grim-looking black shriveled arm. He's a bit of a rough lad, and Indica comes across at first as a very naive and pleasant young nun. She's very giving. She applies morphine to the prisoner, and she offers to bicycle him through the snow on her little motor scooter to find a doctor. And that's how the game begins. It is a third-person game, so we play as Indica, and the camera is hovering right behind her. Camera does some pretty interesting stuff in this game, actually, which I will get to. But as for the gameplay, at first we bike through the snow, and there's a voice-acted conversation that's filling in the blanks of the story, and some interesting sort of debates and quite loaded conversations. But we soon reach a roadblock, and this is where the gameplay kicks in. We have to climb in through the window of a house to get to a hidden yard, and we're looking for tools to try and shift this obstacle. So we get collectibles, we get puzzles to solve, we have to find a spanner to remove the obstacle, we have sometimes a working lifts using pushy crates and all of that kind of stuff. But there's something more to this game than meets the eye. There is a sense of art house weirdness that is permeating Indica. The camera, for a start, is utterly bizarre. It is very wonky, and it makes everything feel like a bad trip. in a good way, if that makes sense. It is often quite close to Indica, almost on her shoulder, looking down. It makes her feel like a giant. It distorts the sense of scale and space. It is kind of woozy and odd. There are some other little quirks, too, that make you know that something more is going on in this game. For example, there are pickups that you can collect that are like Bible fragments that you can read. And when you get them, you will get like a coin pop that looks more like it would belong in a Mario game, with an accompanying little digital twinkle. In Indica, like, you would not think that this serious-seeming medieval play of a game would have such intentionally gamey stuff in it, but it really, really works, actually. It's pretty attention-grabbing, and it adds to the sense of surrealism in the whole thing. I mean, that's before we even get to the really intentionally surreal stuff, because Indica sees things. She has visions that will make the world change around her, a little bit like Senua's Sacrifice, but actually more creative, I would say. There are sort of magical realist sections, like at one point we're trapped in a basement and our prisoner, Captor, climbs out of a narrow window. We go up the stairs, but the stairs just keep going and going and going. It turns into this endless staircase, and as we are going up, there is a voice in Indica's head. She's having a conversation with the voices in her head. And so we start to realize that Indica has a lot going on, let's say. There are also sections that get a bit Twin Peaksy, where a room might stretch endlessly with voices cackling and howling at Indica unless she is praying, at which point the room will snap back together as if she's sealing out the voices. So, very stylish game, very weird, very imaginative. I kind of love it. I would say it does have some kinks in the gameplay. Like, I missed a climbable ledge that was practically invisible and was left wandering around a certain space in circles for a while. There is a balancing minigame where you're crossing a plank that I found frustrating, and it actually became my stop point in the demo. So it has some gameplay kinks, but it also has an odd gravitas and like a tangible sense of weirdness and creativity about it. I would say it's very much worth checking out. It ran on my ROG Ally. I had to put all the settings down to low, but I did get a fairly stable game experience. So if you have a machine that can run Steam, I believe this one is Windows only for now, but that's Indica, coming out on May the 8th. The next one I have for you is called Valley Peaks. This is a cozy and colourful first-person climbing and exploration game. It is developed by Tub Club and published by those awesome guys. Release date TBA on this one, but the Steam demo is up now, so you can try it too. First person, but it has a visual style that reminded me a little bit of A Short Hike, I would say. It has a filter that makes everything look sort of sketched, even in 3D space. And the main mechanic in this one is hand-over-hand climbing, but it's not like Jusante, where you see your character and you're figuring out your way up the cliff. Here it's first person, and it has more of a whimsical kind of feel to the climbing. It actually feels more like parkour at times. But the way it works is you will approach a cliff. There are various ways up each one, easy, medium, and hard. You get extra points for completing them all. And the way that you climb is you cannot cling to the rock itself, but every now and then you will see something like a tree growing out of the rock or a black stone that is protruding from the cliffside. And when you get close enough to them, you can use the trigger buttons to use your left and right hand. You just get this like stretchy black limb that comes popping out the front with a little circle for a hand, like a sucker, I suppose, if you're a frog. And you can cling onto them, you can reach out, you can rearrange your hands to give you better span to reach the next rock. But sometimes you have to jump to get to the next rock. And in first person, I found that a little bit hard to judge, actually. It was kind of hard to keep a rock in your sights when you are jumping in first person, especially because the movement speed is really fast in this game. So there were lots of goofy feeling falls for me in this one. I think I would have liked it if I could lock the reticle onto the next handhold. That would have been so, so helpful, because I was often jumping and then as I was falling, just trying to hit the trigger button exactly at the right moment as I was falling past a rock, because I just couldn't get the hang of the camera control. So a snap on target would have really helped with this one, I think. The gameplay experience reminded me of why I don't quite gel with games like Destiny, for example, or any FPS game that has a lot of verticality and jumping, especially in first person. First-person parkour I struggle with as well. Like Ghost Runner, I struggled with. Mirror's Edge, I struggled with. I like them in theory, but I never seem to be able to get the hang of jumping through the air in first-person, not knowing where my feet are, not knowing where the next platform is, and also trying to operate the camera to presumably shoot, or in this case, grab onto something. I just find that very, very difficult, to be honest. But I do see all of these clips online of people doing the most amazing stuff in Overwatch and, you know, all of those acrobatic FPS parkour games. So maybe it's just a me thing. If you personally feel like you can operate a camera and jump around in a carefree way, maybe you will enjoy Valley Peaks. It certainly does have a lot of cuteness. It certainly does have that colourful, bright, breezy indie game kind of feeling that we love so much in things like Lil Gator Game, Short Hike, etc. So that's Valley Peaks, a colourful, cute first-person climbing game with an indie vibe. But I didn't click with the gameplay in this one, so I'll be passing on it. No release date for it, but if you want to try the demo, it's out on Steam now. But the next game I really, really did gel with, actually, this was one of those demos where you get to the end, a buy prompt pops up, and you just, without even thinking about it, you click buy, you seamlessly buy it in Steam, you install the extra content, and then just keep playing. The save file carries over, and you can resume almost immediately. I think this one is a really unexpected find. I think the first time that we heard of Minishoot Adventure in the Gaming in the Wild Discord might have been when it popped up in our Fantasy Critic channel. We have a bot in the Fantasy Critic channel that will tell us when new games have come out and how they have reviewed. If it's something like Pepper Grinder or, you know, something that everyone's been waiting for, then we are all waiting for it. We're waiting to see if the scores go up and down and who moves up and down the league. But a lot of times, a game will pop up with a 90 rating that no one's ever heard of before. It's actually become a really interesting way to find games just by being told about them by the Fantasy Critic bot, which is really funny. But forgive me if you were in the Discord talking about this one and I just missed it. But anyway, Minishoot Adventure, what is this game? It's a twin-stick shooter with a top-down view. It has a colourful, cartoony, line-drawn sort of visual style. Cartoony is a good word for it. There are lines drawn around everything. So it has a slightly homemade kind of feeling, like it was drawn with pens. I really like that about it. But as well as being a twin-stick shooter, it is also a mixture of Zelda-ish, overworld and dungeon-type stuff, and Metroidvania elements, where you need to pick up certain power-ups to, for example, jump up a ledge or pop over a little pool of water to get to the next area of the game. So there's a bit of gated exploration in here, a little bit of nobody saves the world style, open world Zelda-ish stuff in here, and just a really charming, naive kind of feeling to it all. It's an uncomplicated game, this one. It's a video game as video game, as people like to say. And there is plenty to do in the map. At the start of the game, we see a whole bunch of our pals in our little spaceship fleet all crash down to Earth. We seem to be the only one that is still functioning. And so what we have to do is explore the map, see if we can get to our friends and reactivate them. If we do find them, they will activate, they will follow us, and they will congregate in a clearing at the center of the map. Each ship that you get will start to offer you upgrades. One of them will take little map fragment collectibles that you found and grow your map of the world. One of them will collect crystals that you pick up from powerful enemies and use that to upgrade your guns. There is a skill tree where you can up your bullet speed, up your damage, the range of your shots, your boost speed, and so forth. So you're always collecting XP and you level up pretty quickly in a way that I really like. It makes you feel like you are always progressing, even if you are going back through areas you've been through, taking out low-level enemies. You're always banking XP. And I would say this is a very slick and playable game. It's very, very fun boosting around the landscape. As you travel around, you go across little bridges, you go to different areas. There are beachy areas, foresty areas. There are little caves everywhere and secrets hidden everywhere. If you go into caves, you'll go through dungeons of a type. Pretty simple, but very fun. You'll fend off wave battles, like the doors will close on all sides, and you will have to survive a wave battle with different kinds of enemies popping up in three different waves. There is a nice enemy variety too. There are enemies that snipe you, there are enemies that charge you, there are bigger enemies that throw out bullet hell style flurries of projectiles. And your rewards for completing these dungeons are often crystals that you can go and spend, map fragments, or new abilities is the best of all, like the ability to dash over a short distance, which allows you to use ramps, which opens up the map. And it's just a really nice little gameplay loop. It has a really good power curve to it. I think it was really fun revisiting areas that felt tough at first and just blasting everything to absolute smithereens. Enemies that seem tough are no longer tough after a very short time. So it's a little compressed pipette drop of that FromSoft feeling where you go and revisit enemies that kicked your ass and you just take them out and it's very satisfying, but just compressed into a span of, you know, half an hour rather than, you know, 30 hours or whatever. It's quite a generous demo, I would say. There's a good half an hour to an hour of gameplay there. There is a map in the game, but I think the only criticism I have of the game is that I felt a little lost sometimes. But if you do feel lost, you just have to go to the corners of the map and look for paths you may have missed. The demo finishes with a climactic boss fight that I felt a little overleveled for because I had been around the map several times. But honestly, this demo was so fun that, as I said, I just hit the buy button immediately. I'm now halfway through the game. And Minishoot Adventure has become my go-to relaxing game. It's a kind of game that you can play with half of your mind switched off. It's a bit of a chill game. It's uncomplicated. It's bright, playable, fun. That's Minishoot Adventures. And the last demo review I have for you in this little grab bag episode is Stellar Blade. This is the Sony-published stylish action game by a fairly fresh Korean developer called Shift Up, who I believe have roots in mobile development, but who are taking a swing at a real AAA console title. This game was formerly known as Project Eve. You may have seen it at various game showcase events, Game Awards-y type stuff. And it is a high-tempo, stylish action-adventure game. It is third person. The protagonist, Eve, is very eye-catchingly supermodel-ish. And I guess I have to address this, but the game has come under fire for its overtly sexualized protagonist, which in a way is nothing new. It's just that Japanese-style manga, anime goddess kind of vibe. But it's particularly pronounced in this case, I think. Eve is very sexualized. She's a doll-like supermodel robot. She has bouncing breast and ass physics, which I haven't seen in a game before in quite this way. It feels a little bit over the top, and it is very eye-catching. And it's maybe, I don't know, there's a half of me that thinks it's just glamorous and fun. There is another half of me that thinks it is distastefully male-gazy. Not least because there are some rumours flying around about anti-feminist tendencies in the development house, tweets from the CEO, firings for feminist workers, that kind of thing. And the whole thing has kicked off a fairly toxic culture wars style conversation online around the game. So there is that. But that ugly context aside, I mean, I was looking forward to trying this one. I love stylish action games. It definitely has some Nier Automata and Bayonetta leaning vibes to it. It is sci-fi, it is action. I love all of that stuff. So I downloaded the demo and I tried it out. And I have to say, this is a very impressive game. It has a lot of Nier DNA in it, that's for sure. You can hack and slash your way through the combat. You can air juggle. You have a little robot buddy that flies around and talks to you exactly like in Nier Automata. There is a focus in this game, though, on perfect parrying in the Sekiro style. But I felt like in my half hour with the game, I did land some perfect parries and they were satisfying, but I hadn't quite nailed the timing quite yet. There is also perfect dodging, so you can do this acrobatic backflip to get out of the way of an enemy blow. You can also block, which is a relief. So much like Lies of P, you can just block. You don't have to be Sekiro, razor sharp, perfect parry god to get through this game. You can just use the block button as well. But I found the gameplay in this one to be very slick. The combat is cool, the movement feels nice. It's a little bit floaty in that Nier style, but somehow that works with an anime-style sci-fi thing. There is also some underwater swimming, which I quite liked. I was able to dive down into a pool and find chests. There are collectibles everywhere. It feels nippy and mobile. You will find camps dotted around that are your restart points, like the campfires, I guess. But rather than campfires, here they are vending machines. You have to use a coin to open them up. You can then sit on the bench, you can buy power-ups, you can do all kinds of saving, chilling, that kind of thing. There are also large-scale bosses, and we do get one of them towards the start of the game, actually, in the cinematic intro sequence. And I may have buried the lead a little bit here, because this game is visually startling. It has really nice light and shadows. It is set in a crumbling post-human city, which is really impressive. Lots of detail, lots of ivy, lots of crumbling walls and old signs, the remnants of a human civilization. The buildings are tumbling down around you, like literally collapsing around you in a very cinematic way. It has a great sense of detail. It has a great sense of scale. It's just a very cool and impressive game all around. I only dipped in for a look, but I'm very keen to play more of it. It really did feel like a welcome modernization of the Nier Automata formula, because that game was PS4, and it still looks fine, but this really looks like a, you know, a current-gen take on it. I only played for a short time. I am curious how the themes unfold. I'm curious about whether the negative stuff, the slightly toxic aura that this game has managed to summon up will, you know, get to me after a while. But as far as I'm concerned, it was just a slick, fun, very, very pretty, playable hack and slash sci-fi game, and I'm here for it. If you are a Nier fan, you're just going to love this one, especially the music, which is like a very direct tribute to Nier Automata. Anyway, that's the last demo of the show, so let's wrap things up, and that was Stellar Blade. So that's our episode for this week. It was a grab bag episode. We talked about Dystopica, we talked about Indica, Valley Peaks, Mini Shoot Adventure, Stellar Blade, and then all the stuff that is coming to Game Pass, all the stuff that is on PS Plus, including Immortals of Avium, which you'll hear me talking about in a future episode, I think. So a pretty packed one. It always feels a little bit bitty doing these kinds of episodes, but I think people quite like them, right? We talk about a lot, we cover a lot of ground. Let me know what you thought of this episode. If you're on Spotify, there is a comments box that you can use to say hello. You can always email me at johnisgaminginthewild@gmail.com. I'm active on Twitter. You can find me as Gaming in the Wild. Ditto Instagram and Facebook. I'm also very active on YouTube these days. I've been posting videos every week. So if you enjoy this podcast, there is a load of extra content for you on YouTube. It's youtube.com/gaminginthewild. You can see a ROG Ally review. You can see me talking about four story-heavy games that I really like. You can see me listing off loads of underrated games and indie games that I'm excited about for 2024. So please do check out the YouTube channel. Subs are appreciated, and shares and all of that kind of YouTube jazz. And there is, of course, the Patreon. If you are interested in supporting this podcast directly, it's patreon.com/gaminginthewild, and from $1 a month, you will get all kinds of stuff, including a thank you on this very show, access to the Patreon Discord, loads of extra episodes and all kinds of stuff. I do sometimes publish notes as well. If you're interested in the behind-the-scenes process of making this podcast, I do post my notes that I read from while I'm doing the show. I choose to do kind of a hybrid method. I use a bullet list. It's not exactly a script, but it is like a list to help me organize my thoughts. I think everyone does it in different ways. But if you are interested in that behind-the-scenes stuff, I do post those on Patreon as well. But that's enough waffle from me. If you've gotten all the way to the end, then thank you very much. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Take care of yourselves and each other, and bye-bye for now.